Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. This is a show about, by the way, this is Dr. Fujian Zain, and I have Sean in studio. I thought you already knew me by now, but I guess I should tell you who I am. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our mind, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you the latest research about smiling. It can actually make you happy. That's what psychologists are finding out. Then I will be speaking to two guests today. I'm so lucky. Andy, an Armenian-Iranian and now an American, award-winning singer and songwriter and an actor. He will be with us, and we're going to talk about his latest show that is coming up. And then we're going to talk to Lewis Morrow, who is also an award-winning history-making writer, filmmaker, and the author of Being Trainable. You can call us on Studio Line to talk to Andy or Lewis Morrow or I at 951-922-3532. So we'll be back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
This is the tip of the week. Now, I have been noticing this past week that generosity of giving your attention, not your negative one, but your positive one. You know how sometimes you just want to criticize people and give them negative comments, or like in your head, you're judging them. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking actually about your positive attention. When we give your when you give your positive attention to yourself and others, it's really valuable. Paying attention to yourself in a positive way will put you in a greater mood. You will honor you and cherish you. You won't have all those negative thoughts that are coming up and making you upset and really creating nasty mood for you. You can be watchful of where you might go wrong and correct your course of action immediately before you make a mistake, or before you create some actions that then you have to go and clean it up pretty much. Paying attention in a positive way to others will get them closer and more connected to you. Your positivity creates safety and comfort for people, and they would want to be more engaged with you. And they would want to also come from their best, because you're coming from your best. Negativity harbors negativity. Now, positivity promotes positivity, or at minimum will create some sort of neutrality for people. But being upset and pissy will definitely get people pissed off. Now, intend to be the best of you all the time, and you will experience being your best. So now let's talk about the research. The latest research that was published, I found it on Science Daily, actually. Now, smiling really can make people feel happier. The study was done in University of Tennessee at Knoxville State, states that smiling really can make people feel happier. According to a new article, a team of psychologists combined data from 138 studies, testing more than 11,000 participants, and found that facial expressions have a small impact on our feelings. The paper looked at nearly 50 years of data, testing whether facial expressions can lead people to feel the emotions related to those expressions. And using a statistical technique called meta-analysis, this research team combined Data from 138 studies testing more than 11,000 participants from all around the world, according to the results of that meta-analysis, facial expressions have an impact on feelings. For example, smiling makes people happier, scowling makes them feel angrier, and frowning makes them feel sadder. So they said, we don't think that people can smile their way through happiness, but these findings are exciting because they provide a clue about how the mind and the body interact to shape our conscious experience of emotions. So it is important to see that if our body expresses itself in a particular way in our facial expressions and our body language, maybe if we also wanted to change the state of mood that we are, we can also ask our body and shift our body state, whether we're moving in a particular way, smiling and letting go and releasing can actually shift our mood. That's fun. It's great to know that we don't have to be a slave of our emotions, and our emotions can be in a way managed by us and even altered and shift in different ways. So that's one way. If you are getting tired of being angry, sad, or any frustrated, start smiling, start looking at beautiful things around you, and hey, maybe your mood will change. So I wanted to tell you about Andy. I actually saw him a couple of nights ago in one of the fundraising events, and he's always in the humanitarian causes. So it was exciting to know about his new concerts. And I asked him, and I'm so honored that he had the opportunity to meet with me and just be with us for, about 10 minutes. So I want to tell you a little bit about him. I've known him for many, many years, and he gets just more amazing every day. Andy is an Armenian, Iranian, and now an American singer and songwriter. And he has released 16 albums as a solo artist. His last three singles have ranked number one in the charts. In 2013, Andy was nominated for Best Male Artist, Best Live Act, and Best Entertainer of the Year at the World Music Awards. The following year, he was presented with the Millennium Award at the Big Apple Music Awards in New York City. And Andy and Richie Sambora and John Bon Jovi recorded a version of Stand By Me. He also performed a duet, which he got awarded for the Apple with LaToya Jackson for the Apple Music Award. And he participated in a prestigious recording session for World Peace One, which featured some of the world's most successful artists uniting to promote peace. In 2014, Cherokee Music Production released the humanitarian single, We Hear Your Voice, which brought together 15 international stars from 11 countries to inspire fans and followers to find common ground and to heal the divided between nations. He has contributed musically and as an actor to films including The House of Sand and Fog, The Keeper, The Guardian Angel, as well as indie films. So Andy will be with Chep Khaled, Saturday, April 27th in Greek Theater. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Andy.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am so glad and I feel lucky to have Andy with me. Hello, Andy. Thank you for coming to my show.
Hi, Fujian. So good to see you.
Yes, I saw you a couple of nights ago, and I told everybody that you are always in the humanitarian causes, and there isn't any place that I go for fundraising and I don't find you. So I appreciate you with all that you do for the world with us.
Thank you. Well, I get a lot from people, so I should give it back.
Yes, and you do. So tell us about this, the new concert you're going to have in Greek Theater, Saturday, April 27th.
And it's coming up real fast. It's next week. Basically, we're celebrating the Earth Day, which is on 22nd, actually. And that's my birthday. But 22nd is a Monday, so we'll celebrate it on the 27th, which is a beautiful Saturday, sunny California, at the Greek Theater, co-headlining with a great artist from France, Algerian French singer Cheb Khaled, who is known as the King of Rye. And all I can tell you, it's going to be a great evening of dance and music.
Wow, I'm definitely going to be there, and I hope that our listeners and viewers would also join us. I know that most of the type of international music that you offer and you're in, not only that it's a great performance, but it's always heartfelt. It's really heartfelt. Every time that I've been in your concerts, there's a experience of love that you experience when you are sitting there and watching the performance. And they're fun. They're really, really fun.
Go ahead.
And I know you just won another award. Man, tell us about that one.
Well, last year I received the prestigious Ellis Island Medal of Honor. And as an immigrant, to me, this is worth $1 billion. I mean, I would never imagine receiving something like this. And it's a big honor to be among some of the most accomplished immigrants who came to America. And I'll tell you, this makes sense for me now, because when I was a little kid, I was thinking about, I'm going to do what I love, which is music. And I always believed if you do something you love, you'll succeed. And the rewards are going to be much bigger than you can imagine. And that's my life story.
Absolutely. Now, you talk about being an immigrant, and I know that you're an Armenian Iranian. So even in Iran, you weren't an immigrant there, but your family was, and then you were part of the minority group. And then you came to the U.S., and then you were also an immigrant and part of the minority group. And yet, like you said, what your experience have been as an immigrant has added so much to your growth and to your expansion of the view that you have and how you spread your wings, in a sense, and share yourself with the world and share what you bring from an Armenian, Iranian to the world. And you've done that with Bon Jovi. You've done that in different types of music, the world peace, and all of those where you bring a part of you. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, with Bon Jovi, about 9 years ago, there was a movement in Iran for the election, presidential election, and people were unhappy. And we wanted to sing a song in solidarity with people. Nothing had nothing to do with politics or things, just that for the people of Iran to know, we see them, we hear their voices. Actually, my wife, Shani, wrote a song called We Hear Your Voice, just for this type of things. And when we asked Bon Jovi, actually Don was the producer, and John Shanks, two producers, got together to do this project, and I'm so proud of it. And John came and said, not only I will sing it, I will also sing it in Farsi, which was a great thing on his behalf. He's one of the biggest artists ever in the world, and we really appreciate it. 80 million people in Iran became his immediate fans. Yeah. And we're hoping one day there will be, you know, my music is banned in Iran, and we're hoping one day we can go back to Iran and tour and all that. And coming back to the being immigrant in America, although for the last 40 years I've been here, this is my home, and I love California, I love Los Angeles, I love United States. But because of my job, I travel the whole world. I just can't wait to come back here. There's nothing like Los Angeles, nothing like America. And I'm just so proud to be an Iranian or Armenian American.
Absolutely. Tell us about your the new things that you're going, the new projects that you're doing. Every time I meet you, there's like, you know, a couple of fires in there that you're really working on, yourself and your wife, Shani. So tell us a little bit about that, too. What are we looking forward to the next year?
Well, first and foremost, in a few days, Shep Khaled and I are coming out with a song called Salam. It's Salama, so good. It's really a so good, feel good kind of song. It's a peace offering to the world, because with music you can bring peace to the world. And both Khaled and I are happy people. We just like to play music and make people happy. And I think Greek theater is going to be an all-night dancing and fun. And we're going to sing this song for the first song. It's a duet coming out. And of course, with my wife, she will be singing with me at least two or three songs, because she's also her own singer. Independent artist. She has several albums in English. She's a full American, and we'll be doing a couple of songs, specifically the song called We Hear Your Voice that she wrote for all the children or people in the world who don't have a voice, and we're telling them we hear their voice and we're here to help them. As Americans, we are very generous people. Every time there's a problem in the world, we're the first to help. And
very true.
And she wrote this song, and it's on iTunes, it's on YouTube, and all the income from the sales of that song goes to the children's causes. We have a charity for dogs and for children, for animals and children. We rescue animals here, there, and everywhere. And she's heading that coalition.
Can you say the website that people can go to for the charity for the animals?
Yeah, it's voicesout.org. Voicesout.org.
Voicesout.org. That is the charity for animals. And Andy, if people wanted to find you, they'll go to andymusic.com, right?
Andymusic.com is my website, and andymusic1 is my Instagram, and it's very easy to find me. If once you Google Andy Music, everything comes out.
Awesome. Now tell us, beyond the concert on the 27th at Greek Theater, what are your plans?
Well, summer is coming. Although we came out from a Nowruz celebration, which is Iranian New Year, we went to 9 countries and we toured. But in the summer, we're going to be mostly in Europe and Canada. We're looking forward to it, because there's nothing like playing music and making people happy.
Absolutely. So everyone who's listening or viewing us on the live stream, Greek Theater, Saturday 27th, Andy and Shep Khaled are going to be there together and having an amazing music. They're going to release their new song there, Salam. So we're excited to be there with you and enjoy and dance and hear all that you have offer. 1 minute, anything else you want to tell the listeners in the audience?
Well, I want to thank you. You have been a prominent member of this beautiful I would say the small community of Iranians, and we're very proud of you. And now you're on American TV station. The whole world should listen to you because you're a brilliant person.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you for your generosity of word and heart. So everyone, andymusic.com, April 27th, Saturday, Greek Theater. Let's all go over there and watch him. And we'll be right back with Louis Morrow, another award-winning film and filmmaker and an author. His latest book, Being Trainable. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com. Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Inner Voice Show, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian. That's me, and I'm here with Louis Morrow. Let me tell a little bit about him. Louis is a multiple award-winning, history-making writing. I told him to really be proud of himself while I'm reading this amazing bio of him. He's the one who's done all of this. Filmmaker and has published books on professional parenting, self-empowerment, and love stories. His feature film scripts range from true Native American stories to urban drama and comedies. He had an active 30-year career in the real estate industry, real estate mortgage and financing industry. Louis Morrow brings clients 30 years of experience in transformational coaching, consulting, training, and development, and his industry engagements including mortgage banking, real estate sales, construction, technology, entertainment, and governance. Louis developed Being Trainable as a reliable methodology, ensuring clients maximum and obtain the most benefit from their investment in training and development for themselves and employees and their team. And he's the author of the book, Being Trainable. So glad to have you on my show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a treat. I love your work. I love what you do. I think we met a couple of years ago at this point, but ever since I met you, you know, you just make a difference. I live around Oprah. You're like Oprah. Like no kidding. You got that kind of who you are in the world. So I'm honored to be on your show.
You are generous, and thank you for that compliment. I love Oprah, and anytime I would love to take her as a role model and do that. I know we met at a Landmark course, actually, at one point, many, many years ago. And then you were also on my show another time, and another radio station, I think you were on my show, and we talked about parenting. You had this amazing parenting style that you were experiencing with your own children, and you were sharing it with the world. And now you are bringing your business side, not only your fatherly side and every life experience, but now you're also bringing your life experience through all that you have done into your work being trainable. So tell us about that.
Well, it was an evolution of the professional parenting. In 30 seconds, professional parenting, you know, there I was. I became a full-time single dad. I had a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a high school senior in my back. I always tell people I was in the ocean with a noodle and 3 kids in my back. Like, how am I going to do this? Full, self-employed, single, right? So cut to, I noticed right away that all the training and all the education that was out there for kids was never really something where the parents, especially the mothers. I mean, I'm a father. I was in a circumstance that mostly women are in, but I was in it as a dad, where how do I raise these two little kids and a senior and work and make a living? But I had already like 20-something years of training and development, and I noticed right away there was no context for parenting at the ages of 3, 4, 5, where it's, you know, mommy, 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 mommy. 5 years later, mommy, you want to go crazy on them. So I saw that was missing. And that's how the professional parenting methodology evolved, where how do you raise a fully functioning, self-determining child? And that became the context. And it started to evolve. I started working with executives and some coaching and individual clients. And it matured, and it kept on maturing. And I was writing another book called How to Train a Parent when they were becoming teenagers, when they were in their tween years. They're 13 and 14 now, going on 15. And the other one, my other son works for NASA, the stepson, he works for NASA. So I just saw that there was something missing in that evolution of the training. I saw that what was missing for the professional parenting methodology of being fully functioning and self-determining was kids aren't trainable. Nobody's training them to be trainable, which is different than learning, et cetera. And it evolved to that. I was doing some work with a CFO of a tech company, a law firm, technology, trademarks. I mean, really, managing a law firm, trademarks and copyrights internationally. So the software was really robust, really phenomenal stuff. And he asked me, he goes, well, how long did it take you? It was about a year ago. How long did it take you to write Trainable? I said, you know, my immediate answer, 30 years.
Yeah, true.
It took a year to finish it out and put it in writing and get it out. But it was 30 years of training and development, and just really realizing that it's like with the education available today, there's like a slogan I always say, with the education available today, there's no reason to live a disempowered life unless you're not being trainable. And before you hire somebody, if they're not trainable, before you get into a partnership with somebody, if they're not trainable, if you're not trainable for that person, it doesn't work. It doesn't reach its full potential. So unless you're trainable, you're never going to reach your full potential.
And I think that as I was reading through your manual, it was very interesting to me, because sometimes when we talk about trainable and you talked about, you know, children, sometimes we teach children just to be obedient, like especially when they're a kid, all we want them to do is to listen to us, because obviously we don't want them to get into danger. So we're going to guide them exactly the way we want them. So the way that we're training them and the way is like, we want you to be obedient, not that you're going to also have your own thinking and to be able to have the way of critical thinking and actually make right decisions for yourself, and then, you know, receive it from the world in what the world offers. However, the way that I was reading your book, it has to do with not only what we learn from the world, but after you learn and open, consistently learn from the world and be able to be trainable, but also to find yourself. So let's go through some of the conversations that you have in a book. The first concept that you talked about is we live in other people's ideas as if, you know, we're grown actually and they're like, we're a child and this is our parents and this is our society. These are the cartoons that are feeding us. This is, you know, the movies that are feeding us. And we really live in that, in everybody else's idea. Talk about that.
Well, you know, if you or I were born in another country, whatever country it is, let's say, you know, whether it's the Soviet Union or a Chinese country or a Hispanic country or Arabic country, it doesn't matter. Wherever we're born, we're going to become that culture. We're going to become that language. We're going to become those conversations. We could be born in the jungle. We're going to be, you know, people of the jungle. We're going to be an Amazon. So we don't even stand a chance. It's like you're born, you're free. You're born like, whoa, here's life. I want to take it on. And then it doesn't take long before, no, this is the religion you have to follow. Oh, no, this is the genders you have to follow. No, this is the beliefs. So it's such starts indoctrinating us into this world that we don't stand a chance. We just don't stand a chance. Now, but we know as we're growing up, you start the logic, the things you start learning from different people. You know, your parents could only be your gods for so long. And we start kind of, there's something off here. What is it? And you could even see, like I find a lot of people spend a lot of their lives trying to, quote, find themselves, if you will, trying to, you know, what's that void, that missing piece, which they already always had. They've already had, which, you know, in some methodologies, it's called, you know, they had nothing. So you literally start with nothing, and then you can create yourself. So you're not stuck with anything that you were created into. Like, you literally created yourself into somebody else's version of what life should look like. And this battle is always going. You know, look at the political structures now. You know, let's make America great again. Or what? this is the religion that you were, that the one you have to follow. Or this is the career you have to go into. Or you need to play this sport because your parents played this. The stories are endless. And there's no right or wrong one. But there is a difference between you choosing your life, creating your life, and being born into one that you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance unless you start educating yourself with the education that's out there. You start being mindful. You start being transformational. You start getting coaching. You go into different, you know, just being a therapist, a psychologist, a writer, any discipline that's out there, somebody else created first, and we're living into.
Right. You said that you become a character that someone else wrote in their business. And yeah. I can see even that, to be honest with you. I mean, you're a father. You can imagine that probably all of the parents, before they become a parent, they have an idea about, this is the way that I want my child to be. Like, this is how I'm going to train them. This is how, you know, this is what I'm, the path I'm going to show them. And I envision them to be this. And I even envision them to what kind of a mate and, you know, what kind of a profession they might have. And I probably have that all there. You know, as a citizen of the society, probably has an envision about how we should be. Business, as you also wrote, which is so accurate, is there's someone who actually creates a business plan, and in their world, they have put in people into places where, and the roles that they want. Now they're going to interview you to bring you into that role that they have described in their head, and they put it into the job description. So you become a character that somebody wrote in their business. And yet, yes, you've got to be trainable into that role. And furthermore, can you say more about that?
Yeah, that's actually perfect, because one of the things that when people see with the work that I've done as an award-winning filmmaker or co-founding a technology company, or well, the work that the primary work I've done my whole life, which is around the mortgage business, financing, commercial real estate, people say, how can you do so many different things? So if you actually take a step back, they're all the same thing. What do you mean they're all the same thing? Well, it's a title. That's the title.
Yeah.
What's the pitch? What's the line? What's the paragraph? Where's the setting? Who are the characters? What are you selling? What are you buying? What's prolonged? Does the story have legs? Is it going to go on for a long time? It's the same thing for a business. It's the same thing for, you name it, anything you do in life, pretty much 99.9%, if not 100, you are a character. I'm a character in that. Somebody else created the play. Somebody else was the Shakespeare. We might have built on it. We might have evolved from it. But very few people are walking around as the ones that created language. So one of the things that there's so much I could say, but there's two things I want to break it up to. One is, you know, everybody, if you look at today's industry, you know, being thought leaders or being thought around who's the thought leaders or thought followers. Well, you know, I'm interested in creating thought creators. Like that's what turns me on. Like, what are the thoughts that I'm creating, that we're creating, that's literally taking the world to places where it can go because the education is there. There's absolutely no reason for anybody, you know, as a doctor, nobody should be disempowered unless they're just not interested in the education. But you have the information and the education to help people transcend just about everything. It exists. We're not making it up. It's like somebody already made it up for us.
That's very true. You said something that it really sat with me as I was going through your book. And it said, we excel in becoming inauthentic, knowing that we are lying. That was like, that is so true. That is so true that I work every day in my office with people who are so just the inauthenticity has weaved in their personality in a way that they really, really don't see their own shadow side and they don't get it. Not that I don't know that they're lying. And sometimes, and I was that way too. And I remember, you know, a teacher that I had at one point as I was explaining all of this thing about one of, you know, my relationships. And she told me, her name is Lily from actually Landmark. She actually sat there at one point and told me, you're lying and you need to go and face it. And I was flabbergasted. And I'm like, what? She says, look at what you just said to me. You are lying to yourself and then lying to everyone around you. And that was such a big opening for me. And I get when I read this, I thought, yes, it happens to me. It happens to many of my clients as I see them. And it's just because that way of thinking and behaving becomes such an inside fabric of our personality and such a common ground that, you know, being on integrity is something which is very, very foreign to us.
Well, we're educated into it. So, you know, yes, it's thinking, like I'm thinking, but really it's thoughts that are so transparent and so hidden, so in the background, that unless you have a constant flow of education and training and development that eventually gets you to be fully functioning and self-determining, the self-determining part is really crucial. You're going to be someone else your entire life. And then if you're lucky, you'll wake up one day and say, oh, my God, I became my father. I became my mother. Or I became not my father, not my mother. Or I became this career. Or I did this because of money. Or I did this because I wanted the fame. Or I did this because I liked it. Whatever. I did this because it was cool. Like, I could go on and on. The examples are all over the place. All you got to do is look at yourself and look at the people next to you. So with that said, how do we disrupt that? How do we transform that? How do we alter that? By the way, if you want to, and I'm going to assert, most people want to. Most people did not wake up at a certain point, let's say during elementary school or high school, even college, and say, hey, I can't wait to have this job for the rest of my life, whatever the job is. Now, some people, absolutely. I had one of my friends, I'm not going to say his name here, but he'll know if he ever watches this, airline pilot. Since we were little kids in elementary school, he wanted to be an airline pilot. And his sister wanted to be an airline pilot. Their parents were nowhere near the airline business. And to this day, he's like a major airline pilot for the airlines. And his sister became one of the first pilots. They love it. You could tell it's like they are birds, only they showed up in human bodies. So this is not about invalidating whatever somebody's doing. This is about fulfilling your potential. So being trainable is strictly about that. It's not about, I'm a lawyer and I didn't want to be a lawyer. You know, I'm a lawyer, but I really wanted to be bigger, better, badder, or make a difference, or whatever I want to do as a lawyer versus, let's say, I'm going to call this one out, sell out to the environment, for example. A lot of lawyers making a lot of money defending the wrong side of humanity called, you know, just abuse of the planet. You know, fill in the blank, plastics, you know, that's a whole other topic.
The next one that I actually have done, and I was really excited to see that, it's if you yearn a completely created life, you must be trainable. You must learn from others until you create your own complete self-expression. And I remember, you know, going through all these years of different types of modality and theories in psychotherapy and looking at the different versions and what worked and what didn't work in each theory, going to, you know, the kind of like the self-development and coaching world on all past also 30 years, and then brought them somehow together. So I got trained in all of these different ways. And then, like you said, I found my own self-expression of what had worked 30 years in my office based on my personality and the people who were coming and how I could support them. And all of that became the awareness integration model, which I created and patented, and it became my model. But as again, as I was reading that, I'm like, yes, that is exactly how I allowed myself to just receive from everyone, from the gurus that were out there that could teach me something. And then they all got like integrated because I used them all. I got used by them and I used them all. And then the self-expression came up.
Yeah. You know, there's, and by the way, as I speak to you, as I've written this book and I have other things working on, et cetera, one of the pitfalls I find is that people think that I'm talking like if I made it or I got something. I don't got anything. All I got is that I don't got anything and I can create something. So, if I have anything, is that, I'm not stuck with anything and I can create something. So
that is truly who you are. You truly don't get stuck anywhere. Every couple of years when I get to know you again and you completely have reinvented yourself beautifully out of life.
Thank you. Thank you. And I could tell you the circumstances that, I can give you many examples of the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything in between. But one thing that I can say that I'm consistent with is I am very clear. I'm only where I'm at because I got myself there and I'm staying there and I'm not doing something about it. I'm not taking new actions, et cetera. So there's one little last thing I want to share about my daughter recently, but I want to kind of wait that to the end about that. I'm saying it now so I don't forget. One of the benchmarks when I talk about being trainable, people would say to me, oh, it's like being coachable. I said, well, no, it's being coachable is being coachable. But it's just like being coachable. It's like learning. I go, no. So I'm going to give you an example. The moment I said being trainable, you had to turn it into being coachable. You couldn't even recreate what I said, which is called being trainable. But it's like we spend our lives trying to make things like it's like. What about if it's totally fresh and new and you know nothing about it? So being coachable is a function of language, communication. There's 1,000 different, millions of theories of how to be coachable and how to get feedback and how to do something and how to take an action. And you want to receive all that because if you don't take on that vocabulary or those thoughts or that thinking to try something new, you're going to keep on doing the same thing. You've heard those quotes doing the same thing over and over again. So being coachable is a pathway. It's a pathway. There's a lot of methodologies and a lot of coaching out there. You could look online, you could go from this. They are all over the place, the methodologies and the ways to produce a result. So what's the difference? And people say, well, it's like transformation. I go, no, transformation is a function of language. So transformation could be considered a coachable pathway, like a coachable, there's pathways, or transformation is one of them. Mindfulness is another, therapist, psychologist, lawyer, consultant, fill in the category. Those are all pathways to something. What is it, the pathway to? What's trainable? Trainable is a function of action, period. If you're not in action, you're not being trainable. There's no middle of the ground, because in the action is where you start to transcend the thoughts, the thinking that might have been transparent, that might pop up newly, that all of a sudden you're seeing something you didn't see before. You're able to take an action that you couldn't take before. You practice repetition. So being trainable, if there's no action, you're not being trainable. Now, somebody would say, well, I mean, physical action. Well, yeah, physical action for sure. But there's also thinking action. There's also, like conversations. Like I'm talking to you, you're talking to me. But it could be that I'm talking to you and you're talking to me. And there's like 50 conversations in my head, 50 conversations in your head. So it's like a party of 100 people and only looks like two people here. Right? So why do I bring that up? I find that one of the hardest things for people to really just confront for themselves is how much they don't want to learn, how much they don't want to be trainable, how much they don't want to take new information, how much they don't want to be gotten. Like, God forbid that I actually got you. Like, I got you, or you got me. But if you get gotten, like somebody actually got you, you got to go to work. You got to really get, you know what? Oh, what's left? I got to start taking action. Learn whatever there is to learn, but then take action. I'm going to bring up the one guy that globally people seem to be shaking up about, Donald Trump. people, oh, I can't stand Donald Trump. I hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. I wrote a couple of articles related to Donald Trump literally the next day after the election. There's an opportunity for this man, by accident, to become one of the best presidents ever. By accident. And I'm not endorsing him, and I'm not even a fan of the guy. For sure not 100% fan of the guy. But there are things about him that I'm going to assert people who don't like him have to confront for themselves. Say, what's that? Well, you know what? He decided to become president of the United States, and he pulled it off. I'm not saying I would do it his way. I'm not saying I like it. I'm not even saying that I endorse it. I'm not saying any of that. But the guy went for it, and he got it. And if you look at your own life, how many things are there that we want to go for, and we're not getting it? We're not going for it. We're doing a lot of talking. We're doing a lot of, you know, fill in the blank, but we're not going for it. So if you look at whatever's hooking you is actually you, there's power in that. There's an election coming up. Vote. I mean, it's almost that easy. We all just got to vote. You got to participate. So I could go on and on that topic. The point is that we don't want to be gotten. And if you don't want to be gotten, you're not being trainable. You don't stand a chance of being trainable because nobody can get you. You're going to keep on protecting and defending your history of what it was like that you inherited because you had nothing to do with it when you were a little baby, when you were zeroed. This is your story, and you got to eat it, live it, become it. And if you don't like it, leave. You've heard versions of that, right?
Luis, this is what I'm getting from you, and correct me if I'm not. It's almost like, you know, we're going to be getting a lot of information from the world, and obviously that information is going to be there. There are information that we choose to go get, so based on some of the goals that we have, we'll open our eyes and ears to in order to observe whatever it is. What I'm hearing is information, and you know, you could get it and put it in your put it as a fabric of some of the belief system and keep adding it to your belief systems. But there's an element of experience and allowing yourself to experience not only from that information, but also experience yourself in the world with that information and as information comes. And with that present moment of experience, that experience, which is actions, that you have to actually put yourself out there and act upon it and not just talk about it and, you know, either talk yourself out of it through your head or talk yourself into these dreams that you have, but actually act on it so you have that experience and allowing the experience that you have out here to really really train you. Like that, your own experience be the notion that you're getting trained. Now you can add the old belief system, new ones, skills you can learn from other people, all of that into it, but to also focus on whatever it is that you are experiencing without justification, without putting a lot of, if you didn't get the results to justify it a lot, or whether you got the result to put a lot of meaning on it, but to, for every one of the experiences you got or you didn't, to really have that be training you simultaneously and continuously, and for you to be in expression of it so that other people also get you in where you are and the experience you've had.
Yeah, the title I would call that is the self-determining part. It's all self-determinative, and it never ends, and you're not going to get there, and there's no place to get to, but there's life as you're going day by day and creating and consistent with whatever you want out of life. There's no reason why we just can't pick up right now and go be bartenders at Club Med somewhere in another part of the world if we want.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to, but we actually could. Yeah. We literally could. You know what? Boom. Where did Louis Mora go? I don't know. You find him at a Club Med. But it's not my choice. You know, when I was raising my daughters at the younger age, I called it I surrendered the decade. I already had enough training and development in my life, and I've seen enough examples of other people's life that I knew that it wasn't any amount of money, and believe me, I wasn't rich, I was actually broke a couple of times. There wasn't any accolade, so I already was an award-winning filmmaker, so even if I went on Oscar because whatever, anything that I love to do like that, none of it, absolutely zero, was worth surrendering what's the word? None of it was worth it to me. What was worth it to me was knowing that I had from the years of like 3 to 13 to be there with my daughters and never miss one school event, participate in so many things. They know me, I know them. We know each other really well. And it's delicious that my daughters are now teenagers and they're out in the world doing their thing as they're being with their friends. And I have some friends that, oh, my daughters, my kids don't want to be with me. I go, dude, at 13, 14, did you want to be with your parents? This was predictable. I knew this was going to come down the pipe. And it's awesome because now I'm doing back. I'm doing my thing. And I have a great relationship with my daughters that you can never get back. Kylie, my one daughter the other day, about a month ago, she was driving and she goes, you know, Dad, I notice everything's advertising. I was like, I love what I'm hearing. She goes, yeah, like even school, everywhere I go, it's like everything's just trying to sell me stuff. And I'm starting to get like what I've been saying. So it's like, I mean, everything is selling me. And it's comical, but thank God I noticed because it's like everything is selling me. I go, no, that's the way it goes. Now I said, now you want the mind blower? Like you want the real mind blower? She goes, yeah. And we could have these rich conversations, by the way, because she grew up under being fully functioning, self-determining. If you ask my daughter what's your dad's job, she'll literally say, his job is to make sure that we're fully functioning and self-determining. And I could say more about that. So so she said, I said, ready, here's going to blow your mind. Well, goes, your name is advertising. You're Kylie, but that's your advertising Kylie. You could be any name you want. That's your name that I chose, that your mom chose. We liked it. We loved it. Thought it was perfect. You seem like a Kylie. But if you decide to change your name, I'm cool with it. I'm not one of those parents that you have to keep the name that you got from, which is, you know, fine. If you like it, great. If you don't, whatever. And it was like, wow, your personality is advertising. You're marketing yourself. You're pushing how you want to be known in the world. And you have that choice. And it was such a freeing moment, actually for me as a father, that she got it. Like, she could see that she's in that world now, going to be 15. And she's like, yeah. Wow, I get to create. I'm creating myself.
Yes.
Other daughter, London, 2 years ago, she said to me, she was in elementary school. She goes, Daddy, if I go to, she's a great track runner. She has potential to literally go to the Olympics. If I go to the Olympics and if I go to a great school, would you be proud of me?
No.
I'm driving and I looked over to her and I said, London, I want to tell you a secret. She says, what? You already made it with me.
Yeah. That's
and
sweet.
The weight that this, she was a fifth grader, this fifth grader was starting to put on herself
into
her future to satisfy me. Said, so you made it with me. Want you to have a happy life, do something that you love to do, make a difference in the world, be a good person, no matter what, stay a good person. That's it. The rest, you're going to do what you're going to do.
Absolutely. How could people find you? Real quick.
Beingtrainable.com. So, you know, beingtrainable.com related to this. Or they could just Google Lewis Morrow and they'll find all kinds of work. But beingtrainable.com.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. We're at the end of our show. It was awesome. I always learn from you, and I enjoyed having you here with me and my audience.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for everyone, create an amazing world for yourself and everyone around you, and I'll see you back here next week.